Hi, Patrick Cox here, back just briefly for this one podcast, and it's about Welsh. Yes, Welsh, just another of those ancient languages that aren't going to be around for much longer, right? Maybe, maybe not. Difficult to tell. If Welsh is dying, it's putting up a spirited resistance, which may be down to people like this.
The reason I called myself Double L is because the first letters in my name are Double L, which is a Welsh letter, and it's pronounced...
The World in Words is made possible in part by a major grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities, exploring the human endeavor.
Here's the thing with Welsh. It's a model for language revival that others around the world are looking at. It's a minority language with a chance of surviving. If Welsh can do it, maybe others can too. And the stakes are high, not just for the 750,000 Welsh speakers, but for speakers of thousands of minority languages around the world. Here's some background. Welsh is a Celtic language, like Irish, Scottish Gaelic, several others. It's spoken, of course, in Wales, which, if you've ever been, you know, is sort of a contradiction. It's a country within a country. Wales is within Britain, just like Scotland is. But here's where Wales and Scotland are different. A lot of Scots want independence. They nearly got it last year, and if they have another vote soon, who knows? In Wales, the desire to go it alone, to break away from Britain, is nowhere near as strong, at least politically. What is popular, and here again, it's different from Scotland, is the language. The Welsh assert their difference by embracing their language, even in some cases when they don't speak it. The language is what sets them apart. A few decades ago, it didn't seem that way. Welsh was tanking, just like all the other Celtic languages. If parents spoke it, they didn't pass it on to their kids, who didn't learn it at school either. It was hurtling down the road to linguistic oblivion. In fact, in South Wales, where the big cities are, where most of the people live, Welsh was long gone. That was the case in 1960s Swansea, where Julian Ruck grew up.
I never heard Welsh in my family, I never heard Welsh at school, and I never heard the Welsh language amongst my friends.
After finishing school, Ruck left Wales for London and didn't return for 30 years.
It was a culture shock when I came back because, of course, I'd had no idea that the promotion of the Welsh language had progressed so far. No idea at all. It was almost like coming back to a foreign country.
Now, you may have sensed it in the tone of his voice. Ruck isn't happy about this turn of events. More on that later. Suffice to say for now that he's in a minority. Most Welsh people, they want the language to stick around. Today, there are TV shows in Welsh produced in local studios. There are schools too, scores of them, that use Welsh as the language of instruction. Here's an elementary school principal introducing a concert for parents. The songs are from the musical Oliver, all sung in Welsh. This is taking place in the Welsh capital, Cardiff, a city that, until recently, was pretty much 100% English-speaking.
An awful lot of people now, their children are going to Welsh language schools, so the parents go to evening classes to learn Welsh so they can help the children in schools.
This is Ian Cox. He's at a Welsh conversation meetup that he attends every week.
I lived here all my life and decided it's about time, 10 years ago we decided it's about time we learned to speak the language, because everywhere we go abroad people say, do you speak Welsh? And it was embarrassing that we couldn't. So we decided to learn.
The commitment that so many people here have to improving their Welsh skills is impressive. Of course, these are learners. To become fluent, to turn themselves into something like natural speakers, they'd need to take it a step further. Someone who's done that is...
Jamie Bevan, Cadeirydd Cymdeithas yr Iaith Gymraeg. Hang on, I've never translated it before. Chairperson of the Welsh Language Society.
Bevan is deeply committed to the language. And the thing is, he didn't grow up with Welsh as his first language.
When I was 29, 30, my mother and I sat down and decided, right, it's actually important that we speak Welsh as much as we can. So we changed the language we used between ourselves. And then from that, my brothers, my sister jumped on board, and even my father then now has gone on to learn fluently within the past 5 years.
This is just an unbelievable thing to do, to switch the language, that, I mean, because there's a sort of intimacy evolves over time between mother and son. And did you lose something?
Definitely not. I think we all of us as a family have gained so much as far as our personal relationships between each other, as far culturally. All our lives have been enriched since this turning point in the linguistic history of the family. It's something we regret not having done earlier, but all of a sudden, something clicks.
Like he's responding to a higher calling. Bevan has expressed that zeal in other ways too. He served jail time for acts of civil disobedience, like refusing to respond to court summons written in English. Protest, in fact, has been at the heart of Welsh language activism for decades. It's helped Welsh achieve its official status alongside English. What Bevan has done with his family is clearly exceptional. It's the private, personal nature of it, the bit that's missing in most Welsh learners' experience of the language. Yes, kids are learning it in schools, but what about at home? How can non-native speakers make that leap to growing up in Welsh, falling in love in Welsh, those kinds of things? It's something that Mary Hughes thinks about a lot.
We now have young people who are first-generation Welsh within their families. And within the home environment, they have no one else to communicate with in that language. They're in their teens, many of them now, and the challenge is to ensure that they have the opportunity to fall in love in Welsh, to communicate in Welsh outside the school environment.
Hughes is Wales's first Welsh language commissioner, a position established 4 years ago. The commissioner issues advice and directives on the use of Welsh, though her powers aren't yet fully defined. For supporters of the language, the commissioner's oversight will help ensure the future of Welsh. For Julian Ruck, it's just another wasteful layer of bureaucracy. Ruck is the guy who returned to Wales after an absence of 30 years and found it, in his words, like a foreign country. He doesn't understand the obsession with Welsh.
I just do not believe that it merits having taxpayers' hard-earned money being spent on it, particularly as it is, or it seems to be, dying. It hasn't worked. It just throwing all this money at it has not worked.
Now, that may sound like an odd conclusion, given all the enthusiasm for the language. But Ruck has a point. Welsh is imperiled, not in the cities where people are taking it up, but in the places where it's spoken naturally, rural, often poor parts of Wales. Peridor Lynch of the University of Bangor grew up in a village that was mainly Welsh-speaking. It isn't anymore.
There's been a great change in the demography of the area over the past 30 to 40 years. I'm a medievalist, and I think you'd have to go back to medieval periods to see such a big change in the population of this part of the world.
Retirees from across the border in England have moved to this area in huge numbers, and they're setting a new linguistic path. Lynch's children speak Welsh at school and at home.
But of course, you know, they pick up English, it's all around them. They watch The Simpsons every night, so...
Under such circumstances, it doesn't take much, linguists say, for a minority language community to flip to the majority language. Once a community drops below 70% of minority language speakers, it's in trouble. This part of Wales is down to 69% Welsh speakers. The latest census for the whole of Wales has also found fewer Welsh speakers overall. Because of this, some policymakers are calling for protective measures, even so far as restricting new housing projects if they dilute the concentration of Welsh speakers.
The reason I called myself Double L is because the first letters in my name are Double L, which is a Welsh letter, and it's pronounced...
Double L is a hip-hop artist. He's also from the same poor rural part of Wales. He used to rap in English, even though he's a native Welsh speaker.
A friend of mine asked me, why won't you try rapping in Welsh? And then I found out it was much more natural for me to rap in my native language.
And the subjects he raps about now he's switched to Welsh, they're different.
Things that happen in your life, you know, hard times, you know, just living with a single parent, personal stuff like that really affects you, and then I feel I can put more feeling into my words when I rap in Welsh.
It's impossible to know yet what exactly is going to happen to Welsh. It's clearly the language that many in Wales feel most comfortable in. Many more view it with intense pride. And yet, the threats are real and growing. What would happen to the language if its linguistic heartlands, its lungs, as one activist puts it, if they collapsed? Would the revival of Welsh elsewhere withstand a blow like that? Whatever happens, Welsh is a test case for language revival, and its fate will be closely observed, especially in the English-speaking world, in those pockets of linguistic diversity that are few and far between, places like the Aboriginal lands of Australia and Navajo country here in the US. Over the next year in the pod, we hope to get to some of those places in the English-speaking world and beyond, trying to figure out what works in language revival and what doesn't work. For Welsh, it seems to be a combination of things. Love of the language, a long history of civil disobedience, also the confidence to keep the language modern, to keep it updated, to borrow words from English if you have to. This is part of the reason why things have come unstuck for that other Celtic language, Irish, which for a long time refused to borrow words from English. And the language, it just got stuck in the past, in the sort of folk-tale-y mists of time. Welsh, on the other hand, it's remained dynamic. It's evolved with the times. And last, and certainly not least, there's been lots of financial support for Welsh. Lots of it from London, the UK government, and also some from the EU, the European Union. London has also devolved powers to the Welsh themselves, so they've been able to make decisions locally about things like Welsh language schools. But maybe most important of all, it's the small community groups, many, many community groups, doing stuff to promote Welsh, almost street by street, and in so many aspects of life. And in that spirit, I wanted to end with a couple more people who I met at that Welsh Conversation Meetup, which was organized by one of these groups. First, here is Esther Lemon. She is originally from Indonesia, now lives in Cardiff.
I've decided that I have to learn the a local language.
Now, for Lemon, this actually had less to do with Welsh than it did with Cantonese. Yes, Cantonese. Lemon lived in Hong Kong for a number of years, but she never learned Cantonese, the local language there. She feels she missed out, and she doesn't want to do that again now that she's living in Wales, married to a local man, raising two kids.
Well, at the moment, I can understand the local TV in Welsh, which is interesting. Not that I'm crazy about rugby, but it is nice to see some things in Welsh, and yes, only in Welsh, yes.
She mentioned rugby there, and let me tell you, rugby is just about as important to the Welsh national identity as the language is. Another woman at the meetup was Liz Morgan.
Oh, well, I love Wales with a passion, obviously, and I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. I'm very sort of proud of the country and of the people and of our culture and of the language, of course, which is sort of one of the reasons I felt I needed to learn it, really, being a Welsh person.
Morgan started learning Welsh as part of her job. She was working for the City of Cardiff, the council as it's called. They needed more Welsh speakers on staff, so she volunteered to take an intensive language course, and then she became a spokeswoman for the city, talking to the Welsh language media.
You know, where most of my colleagues have not been able to speak Welsh, so they have not been able to do interviews, you know, on the radio, on the television. I've sort of put myself forward to do that, and I think it's really, really, really important, you know, as I say, just to demonstrate that you know, that people in Cardiff, for example, working for the council, actually there are Welsh speakers, because people think that, you know, nobody speaks Welsh, you know, or not many people speak Welsh in the capital city. People that speak Welsh are in the north of Wales or they're in the west of Wales, but there's, you know, very little sort of in this part of the world. But it's been a great experience. I've met loads of lovely people, had all sorts of experiences actually learning Welsh, and the native Welsh speakers that come here have just helped as well. And now I think I've got to that point where I'm fluent now. I consider myself as not a learner anymore. And so when people come and join this group who are less fluent than myself, I'm very willing and keen to sort of help them as well, you know, to speak to them and to sort of give them the experience, but the sort of confidence as well. Just speak, just open your mouth, speak. That's the most important thing.
Liz Morgan, fluent in Welsh, her second language. Okay, that's it. There are photos of some of the people I talked with at pri.org/language. You can also get to the same place via the World in Words Facebook page. I'm on Twitter, tweeting under the name Patricox, P-A-T-R-I, COX. Nina will be back very soon with another episode. Thanks for listening.
The World in Words is made possible in part by a major grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities, exploring the human endeavor.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.